Apart from the two dots on the top of Hey Amud Beis, the fifth line. Okay, so the Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Shivas Yomim Seor Lo Yimatzei Bevateichem Ma Talmud Lomar. V'halo Kvar Ne'emar Lo Yera Elecha Seor V'lo Yera Elecha Chametz B'chol Gvulecha. So the Gemara has the following kasha. The Gemara wants to know, there seem to be two superfluous psukim in Chumash, right? In other words, the pasuk starts out by telling us that you're not allowed to have seor, which for these purposes we're going to call chametz. You can't have seor in your house for the duration of Pesach. But the question is, what exactly is the Chumash teaching us by that pasuk? Doesn't it already say, right? In other words, later in Parshas Bo, it says you're not allowed to have seor or chametz b'chol gvulecha. You already can't have chametz in your possession. What's the purpose of reiterating what in other words, what already seems to be obvious? So the Gemara explains, Lefish Shenemar lo yira elecha seor shelcha yata roa avalata roa shelachir mishal gavoa yachol yat min v'yakaba pikdonos min hanachri tamad lomar lo yimatze. So the Gemara says no, that really the words lo yimatze are actually adding a layer of a chiddush that we didn't already know, namely that if you look at the second pasuk that we quoted, lo yira elecha chametz and lo yira elecha seor, so that word lecha is an exclusionary term. In other words, it teaches me that I don't violate the Isser D'Oraisa of seeing or having chametz in my possession. The chametz does not belong to me. So if the chametz belongs to a non-Jew, or if the chametz belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, that's not my chametz. So I don't violate the Isser of Baal Yimatzi. Now the Gemara further adds, well, the Gemara says, what happens, in other words, if let's say, for example, I try to hide chametz in my house, or let's say, for example, I receive chametz as a collateral from a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, how do I know that that's a problem? So the Gemara says, because it says Lo Yimatzi. So the word, in other words, on the one hand, chametz that just regularly belongs to a non-Jew or to Hekdesh, that's not my problem. If I see, a slice of pizza that belongs to a non-Jew or some chametz item that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, I don't have to worry about that on Pesach. However, the Gemara says, what is a problem is if, let's say, I either hide chametz, I store chametz somewhere in my house, or if, let's say, I'm receiving chametz from a non-Jew as a collateral, the Gemara says that's problematic. Now, the Gemara clarifies this a little bit. The Gemara says, Ein li ela benachri shelo kivashto ve'ein shari imcha b'chatzer. Nachri So the Gemara, again, the Gemara is going to end up actually reversing this drasha, but for right now, what the Gemara thinks this pasuk means is that this halacha, this notion that I'm not allowed to receive chametz as a collateral from a non-Jew, and if I do, I violate the yisra of Baal Yimatze, the Gemara says that's only applicable for a non-Jew that's either lo kivashto means that I don't have any authority over him. Let's say, for example, the Jewish people are not running things, they're not running the government in the state of Israel, so they're just people who are living there. So if, in other words, if it's a scenario where I have no control over the non-Jew, and the non-Jew doesn't live in the same area, the same chatzer as me, so then the halacha applies that if I receive collateral from him, then I violate the Isser. How do I know that the Isser even applies if the non-Jew is under my control, if the non-Jew does live in the same chatzer? So the Gemara says, that's what the pasuk lo yimatzei bevateichem comes to include, that even if the non-Jew is under your control, under your auspices, and he lives in the same chatzer, you still violate this. Now again, the Gemara is going to ask a little bit later on that this seems to be a little bit counterintuitive. It seems like if anything, the non-Jew that you have control over, that you do have authority over, you should certainly violate the Yisr because you have the ability to tell him to get rid of the Chametz. So again, the Gemara is going to ask that question in a little bit. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ein li ela sheb bevatichem, bevoros beshichen uvimaros minayin, tamad lomer bechol gevulecha. Then the Gemara says, how do I know that the Isser to not own or to not see chametz is, in other words, extends beyond just the confines of your house? Because if you think about it, all the pasuk says is lo yimatzei bevateichem. So if you were taking the pasuk very literally, you would say, okay, only chametz in the house is a problem, but chametz that I find in the fields and the caves and the ditches and the vaults, maybe that's okay. Whereas it says, no, the word b'chol gevulecha comes to include any of those other areas as well where you would also violate the Isser. Then the Gemara says, va'adayin ani omer, bevatim over mishum bal yiro bal yimatzei.
Over
It's a very long way of basically saying that all the halachos that apply in your house apply outside the house and vice versa, which basically just means to say that all of the restrictions, all the things that we said earlier in the Gemara that are problematic in terms of Bal Yimatze apply both in the house and out of the house, and all the limitations that apply based on the word Lecha, where we said that you don't violate the Isser if the Chametz does not belong to you, if it belongs to a non-Jew, or if it belongs to Hekdesh, also apply whether the Chametz is in your house or out of your house. So in other words, basically what the Gemara is saying is that, in other words, if I find Chametz that belongs to a non-Jew in my house or in my cave or in my field or whatever, that's not a problem. On the other hand, any chametz that I hide in my house that I receive as collateral from a non-Jew in my house or in the field or in the ditch or in the vault is going to both be problematic based on this gzeira shava of the word sa'or written in both contexts. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. They keep talking referring to a non-Jew and hektesh. Not if I find Mitch stored his $300 bottle of scotch in my house.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a very serious problem, yeah. Because there, even though the chametz does not belong to you, but it does belong to a Jew, chametz belonging to a Jew, you do have to get rid of. And again, we're going to talk a lot about this as we go on in the Masechta, but chametz that belongs to a Jew on Pesach is not only usher to own, but it's actually worthless, as we'll see coming up. It's really more on tomorrow's daf. It's considered to be worthless, so it's not like you're going to have to end up paying him back for destroying the chametz. The chametz is already worthless the way it is. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Mar, Ainli ela benachri shelo kivashto ve'in shori imcha b'chatzer. Nachri shekivashto ve'shori imcha b'chatzer minayin talmud lomar lo yimatzer. So this was a drasha that we cited earlier where we said that this concept, this notion that, you know, that I violate the isser of lo yimatzer by receiving collateral from a non-Jew, so we said that's only true, in other words, I only know that halacha to be true if, let's say, I have no authority over the non-Jew, or if he doesn't live in the same chatzer as me. How do I know that it even applies if I have a control over him? So the Gemara says, oh, that's what you see from the pasuk lo yimatzei. So the Gemara asks the question that we alluded to before, which is klap elaya. If anything, this halacha should be reversed, because again, as we mentioned before, the non-Jew is under your auspices, he's under your authority, you have more ability, you have more control to basically demand that he gets rid of the chametz. So if anything, I would have said that case is more obvious, and the bigger chiddush is a case where you have no control over the non-Jew, where in other words, that would have been a bigger chiddush to say based on the pasuk of lo yimatzei that you violate the answer there. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Epoch. So Abaye says, you're right, you have to reverse the drasha. So Abaye says, you're right, really, the way the Gemara should have read is that I only know, in other words, to begin with, that a non-Jew that I have control over, that if I accept chametz from him as a collateral, I violate the answer of Lo Yimatzei. How do I know that even if I have no control over him, I violate it? That's what the pasuk of Lo Yimatzei is coming to teach me. So according to Abaye, you just have to reverse the drasha of the Gemara. However, Rava Amar Liolam Lo Tepoch Via Resha Kai. Shalchayata Roa Avalata Roa. Rava, however, says you don't need to reverse the drasha, because Rava claims that this entire drasha is not even referring to the case that we thought it was talking about in the first place. We thought that this drasha was referring to a case regarding receiving collateral from a non-Jew. We have to figure out, is that talking about a non-Jew over whom you have authority or not? But now the Gemara is saying is that really, this drasha is actually referring to the original case of the Gemara, the first case of the Gemara, which was the parameters of Shelcha, the parameters of Lecha, namely where we said in the Gemara earlier that if Chametz belongs to a non-Jew or to Hekdesh, you do not violate the Isser. So Rava qualified that statement. He says that really when the Gemara says that there is no Isser of Bal Yimatzei when you see Chametz that belongs to a non-Jew or to Hekdesh, so the Gemara says, I only know that to be true if the non-Jew is someone over whom you have no authority. How do I know that even if you have authority over him, where one could have made the argument that if I have authority over him, so then maybe I should demand that he gets rid of his chametz? The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Lo Yimatzei teaches me otherwise. So in other words, according to Rava, there is no need to reverse the drasha. All you have to do is apply the drasha to the first clause, the first case of the Gemara, which is again defining the parameters of shelcha, of what's called your chametz, as opposed to, according to Abaye, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, which is defining, you know, which cases we say it's a problem to receive a collateral from a non-Jew. But now the problem is, based on Rava's answer, the Gemara says, the problem is that lo yimatzei, or bal yimatzei, is a chumrah, it's an iser, it's an avera. How can Rava is taking a pasuk, taking a lav in the Torah, and using it as a kula? It's kind of a strange thing. He's saying that basically, in other words, what Rava is basically doing here is taking something which is supposed to be usher, the iser of lo yimatzei, and he's saying, well, really, lo yimatzei is actually a lot more watered down than we thought, because in reality, it teaches me that not only in a case of a non-Jew over whom I have no authority does the sister not apply, but even if I have authority over him, the iser also doesn't apply. So he's essentially watering down an aveira. And the question is, how can he do that? He's taking something which is usher, and he's making it less usher, basically. So the Gemara says, no, mishum shenemar l'cha l'cha trei zimne. So the Gemara says, no, it's actually not so crazy to say that. Why? Because again, the pasuk that we cited earlier, the pasuk says, v'lo yira el l'cha chametz, v'lo yira el l'cha sor. So that second word l'cha seems to be superfluous, so that the fact that the Torah says the word l'cha twice is an indication that really there is in fact a limitation on the issur of lo yimatzei. It's not just out of left field that Rava said, oh, lo yimatzei is watered down and doesn't apply to all, you know, to all cases where you're receiving collateral from a non-Jew. It's built into the pasuk because it says the word l'cha twice. That teaches me that there's actually already a built-in limitation to the issur of lo yimatzei. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Yochol Yatmin V'yikabel Pikdonos Min Hanachrim Talmud Lomar Lo Yimatzei. So again, the same drasha we keep on quoting again and again. I might have said that I'm allowed to receive collateral of chametz from a non-Jew. The Gemara says, no, it's not true, because the pasuk says Lo Yimatzei, you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, hang on one second. Ha'amar Reisha Shelcha Yatorowa Avalatorowa Shelachkerim Shelgavor. Right? This is kind of like a very glaring question from this entire Amud, which is, well, if we said in the beginning of this Amud that there is no iser of bal yimatzei when the chametz does not belong to you, how can you then turn around and say, but if I receive it as collateral, then it's a problem? It still belongs to the non-Jew at the end of the day. And if we already established that chametz belonging to a non-Jew does not violate the iser of bal yimatzei, then who cares that he's giving it to me as collateral? Why should that make a difference? So the Gemara says, no, it's... Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
We established many times already in Shas that when a yid accepts a collateral, it's a kinyan, it's his, it belongs to him, he can do whatever he wants with it. I wouldn't even think for a second that it's not his.
Ah, okay.
And of course he's going to be yotzei.
So that's gonna be part of the Gemara's answer, but I would add one thing to what you're saying. It's not always a given that just because you receive a collateral you can automatically use it. It may depend on what the terms and the conditions of the deal was, right? It's not always a given that that's the case, and that's gonna be part of the Gemara's answer, as we'll see right now. Okay, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does the Beis Hamikdash deal with
Good question. In other words, right. So the case, right.
The Abishta goes to shul and he gives the rabbi a check.
He picks up a pen, right? He picks up a pen from the rabbi. No, I'm saying it's a good question because the Gemara keeps on mentioning that case almost in passing, right? It never really, right. And so this Gemara doesn't really discuss the parameters of chametz belonging to hekdesh, but again, that's a separate discussion. It's really part of a separate Gemara. It's kind of only mentioned in passing here. But again, the bottom line is that all these halachos that pertain to destroying, getting rid of chametz and not owning chametz and not seeing chametz, you know, presumably, as we've already pointed out, do not apply in the Beis Hamikdash, and why that should be so is a discussion a little bit later on in the Masechta. Okay, so the Gemara now says, as Mitch pointed out, lo kashya, had the kabel le'achrayas, had the lo kibel le'achrayas. The Gemara says, basically, the issue of whether one violates the Yisra Bali Matzeh for receiving chametz from a non-Jew as collateral basically depends on whether you also accepted responsibility if something were to happen to that collateral. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, ki hada amar lehu rava levnei mechoza, but iru chamir So Rava told the people of Mechoza. So apparently the people of Mechoza were forced to house people from the army and to house their chametz in their houses. In other words, when the non-Jewish members of the army would come through the city of Mechoza, they would basically force the people there to bake bread or whatever it was for them, and they would make them store all their flour and all their other all their chametz in their house. So Rava says the same way that if you were to lose or if the chametz were to be stolen from you, you would have to compensate the soldiers for the loss of their chametz. So you are essentially responsible responsible for. If you're responsible for it, it's as if it belongs to you, and therefore you are going to be liable for violating the Isra of Bal Yimatzeh. So again, basically what Rav is saying is, and what the Gemara is saying is that if you have responsibility, if something were to happen to the collateral of the Chametz, then you violate the Isra. If you have no responsibility, again, depending on the terms and the conditions of the deal, so then you would not violate the Isra. So now the Gemara says, but we have to clarify this a little bit. The Gemara says, Hanicha l'man d'amar davar hagorim l'mamun k'mamun d'amei, el l'man d'amar lav k'mamun d'amei ma'ika l'meimar. The Gemara raises a question based on a famous principle, a famous machlokas that appears in a number of places throughout Shas, which is what we call a davar hagorim l'mamun. A davar hagorim l'mamun means that if I have something which in and of itself is not really considered to be worth anything, because as we mentioned already before, chametz on Pesach has no value to it. It's not mamun. It has no monetary status. However, this would be an example of what we call a davar hagorim l'mamun. It's something which can theoretically cause or lead to a monetary obligation. For example, the case that we just gave, if let's say the people from Mechoza were housing the chametz of the soldiers, and the chametz were to then be stolen or lost, they would be responsible to compensate them for that chametz. So in theory, even though chametz right now, the way it is not worth anything to a Jew on Pesach, but it could theoretically down the line lead to a monetary obligation to compensate them for the lost or stolen chametz. So the question is that considered to be worth money in halacha? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. So if you hold davar hagorim l'mamon k'mamon dame, if you hold that something which causes a monetary loss has the status of money, then this Gemara makes a lot of sense. Then I understand why the Jew is responsible to get rid of that chametz, because it's his. It's his obligation. It's his problem. Because even though, again, the chametz has no monetary value right now, but it could theoretically lead to having to a monetary value down the line. However, if you disagree with this, if you hold that a davar hagorim l'mamun lav k'mamun dame, if you hold that just because there could theoretically be a monetary obligation down the line, that doesn't mean anything, so then the problem is that why exactly are you responsible for this? It's not yours. It doesn't have any monetary value whatsoever. So the Gemara says you're right.
When
yeah.
The Gemara here speaks of, I don't know if they use the word dispose, how can you possibly, if the soldiers are, do they mean just hide it, or like we hide it, or lock it up?
No, you would probably have to physically destroy, whether burning or flushing down the toilet or whatever, the chametz. And yeah, you're right. In theory, that could lead to a lot of problems. You would have to pay for it. Yeah, exactly. I don't know how kindly the soldiers would take to this. I don't know. Yeah. You know, in theory, maybe if there's a pikuach nefesh element here, maybe it's a little bit different. Yeah. But the Gemara doesn't mention that as a factor. So the Gemara says again, if you hold davar hagorim l'mamun lav k'mamun dame, if you hold that just because there could be a monetary obligation down the line, that doesn't mean anything. So then, why exactly am I responsible for the non-Jews chametz that I'm taking as a collateral? It's not mine. It's not my problem. So the Gemara says, you're right, Shaini Hacha de Amar Lo Yimatzei. That's exactly what the Torah is teaching us. That's the Chiddush of the Pasuk of Lo Yimatzei, that despite the fact that this Chametz has absolutely no value to it, and even if you hold Davar HaGorim L'mamon Lav K'mamon, that it really is considered to be completely and utterly worthless monetarily, it doesn't matter. That's exactly what the Torah is teaching me, of the Chiddush of Lo Yimatzei, that I'm Chayiv anyway. That's built into the Pasuk to teach me that I'm Chayiv. That's one version of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Ika Damre, Han Yicha L'man de Amar Davar HaGorim Gorim l'mamun lav k'mamun dame haynu de itstrich lo yimatzei el l'man de amar k'mamun dame lo yimatzei l'amali. So the Gemara in this version is basically asking the same question, but from the opposite vantage point. Here the Gemara is saying, I understand if you hold that davar hagorim l'mamun lav k'mamun. I understand if you tell me that just because there could theoretically be a monetary obligation down the line that I'm not chayv, that's not called, you know, being worth money. That explains why there's a special chiddush of the Torah called lo yimatzei, because the starting point would have been that I should not be chayv because it doesn't belong to me. But if you hold davar hagorim l'mamon is k'mamon, if you hold that it is considered to be worth something, then why do I even need the chiddush of lo yimatzei in the first place? I know that I'm chayiv. It's considered to be, the chametz is considered to have monetary value. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. It's trich sal kadei techamina ho'el v'chi isei hadar be'enei lav b'rishusei ka'ei kamash malan. The Gemara says, I might have argued that since the chametz is still physically intact, I may be, the Gemara is saying that because in a case, if the chametz were still to be intact after Pesach, I would have to return it to the non-Jew the way it was, so I might have argued that's not really called being in my possession, because the fact is, I'm not paying him anything, I'm simply handing the chametz back to him. Let's say he gives me a bottle of schnapps to watch, so I simply hand the bottle back to him, so one could have argued that's not called belonging to me. I'm just watching over his stuff, and I'm literally handing back the same exact thing that he gave me initially. So the Gemara says, that's the chiddush of the Torah of lo yimatzei. That's what the pasuk is teaching me, that even though I would literally just hand the same exact bottle of whiskey back to him, it doesn't matter. That still would be a violation of the isra of lo yimatzei. Okay.